Okay, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 27 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In this podcast, I'm going to be continuing our teaching on godly parenting. This is going to be part three. So we started during the last episode. I mean, obviously, we established what that children are a gift from God, an inheritance that need to be properly stewarded. And then we talked about how we steward our children, right? The first point I made in the last podcast last week, Sunday, was you need to pass on a godly heritage to them. And I talked about some practical tips for accomplishing that goal. Now, the next thing I would say here about properly stewarding children is that you need to discipline them. So I'm going to start off by saying that you should not abuse your children. Right? Don't abuse your children. I'm not saying you should abuse your children. Abusing your children is illegal. There are ways to discipline children without abusing them. And the thing is, when you want to try to discipline your children, you should start early. The thing is, the Bible says, train up your child in the way he should go. And when he grows up, he will not depart from it. Train up your child in the way he should go. When he grows up, he will not depart from it. Right? Start early. Some parents, they wait until their children are like teenagers to start disciplining them. Do you know that if you're waiting till then, it's almost too late at that point? That is obviously not going to be very profitable to you. So it's very important to be very wise and start on time. Start on time and you will not leave that life of regret. Right? Even the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19 verse 18, it says, discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. That's the New International Version, right? Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. And if you look at Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, it says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, that rod just refers to discipline. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. Punish them with the rod and save them from death. Again, you are literally saving your kids from death if you discipline them, right? So don't wait till they are all grown before you start disciplining them. The best time to start discipline and to save them is now, right? The Bible says now is the time of salvation, right? Don't let the pain they feel from that discipline be the thing that makes you not do it. The thing is, with the right kind of suffering comes instruction, right? Even Jesus Christ himself had to go through suffering. If you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 to 9, right? Hebrews 5 verses 8 to 9. It says that Jesus Christ learned obedience through his sufferings, right? The thing is, there are certain trials that a person goes through that becomes very instructive for their future destiny. Like Joseph had to go through trials of living in Potiphar's house, being sold into slavery, living in Potiphar's house, going into prison, for him to learn certain leadership lessons that helped him succeed on the throne in the land of Egypt, right? So the thing is, if you really look at it, the more society has moved away from discipline, the worse society has become, right? The thing is, these days, society will rather teach children that everything has to be fun and exciting, that they don't really need to work for anything. This is actually very destructive. Right? This is why you see children of these days, many children, they're not willing to study or they're not willing to do any kind of studying for an appreciable length of time. Right? That's why you see the educational system. I'm really sad saying this because I love this country. I love the United States. The United States is a wonderful country, right? But we see that we are constantly watering down our educational system, right? The thing is, to be honest with you, don't get me wrong, there are some people that have a true ADHD diagnosis. But I feel like these days, a lack of discipline in a child is what we just label as a child with ADHD in certain circumstances, right? And then you essentially have these parents, they bring their kids to a physician like, XYZ child is not doing well in school, right? And then the physician gives the child medication. Right? The thing is, that medication, again, there are some true good uses for it. But to be honest with you, that medication is quite addictive, right? The drug that's used to treat ADHD, right, is a very powerful stimulant. It's a very powerful stimulant, right? So these parents, essentially, they'll they're the ones, they'll bring their kids to the physician and say, oh, he's not doing well enough in school. And then the physician gives their child a drug. But the thing is, think about it. Think about it. If, as a parent, the example you're setting for your child is that, oh, if you're not succeeding, let's use a chemical agent to get you there. Do you know that? In fact, it's really saddening to say this, but as a parent, you are effectively the one introducing your child to drug abuse. The thing is, when a person engages with something, when you're engaging with something, when you're suffering through something, you roll through with it, right? After a while, you'll build character, right? But if you show your children that, oh, using chemicals solves their problem, they will start gravitating towards other chemicals to help them in the future, right? I'm so grateful that, to be honest with you, again, I know it may sound kind of weird, but I'm actually really grateful that my parents essentially banned coffee in our home when we were growing up back in Nigeria, right? So the thing is, we keep worrying, oh, why are many other countries overtaking the U.S. educationally? Well, again, we're not willing to let our kids work hard. We're not willing to show them that example of, oh, guys, you need to work hard to succeed. Like, I remember in college, when I was doing organic chemistry, right? I mean, by the grace of God, God helped me to become an accomplished organic chemistry tutor. I used to tutor a ton of OChem. When I encountered organic chemistry for the first time, was it easy for me? No. In fact, I remember my first organic chemistry exam, I did not do very well on it at all. Well, what did I do? I was like, you know what? This organic chemistry, I needed to move forward. I need to understand this thing. I spent, I think, a whole week. It was like a spring break or summer break. I'm pretty sure it was either a spring break or fall break. I spent a whole week in a library reading and doing tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of practice problems for days. And by the end, organic chemistry never became a problem for me again. I ended up getting an A in that class, that in organic chemistry 1. I ended up getting an A in organic chemistry 2. Right? So the thing is, it's very, very important. You need to engage with things. You need to train your children to be able to engage with things. Don't just hand everything down to them, right? Let them engage with certain things. In that engagement, in that going through that suffering, they will learn discipline, right? Because the thing is, when you have a pattern of indiscipline in one area of your life, it's going to spread to other areas of your life, right? Have you noticed many children today, they cannot sit still. They cannot sit still for a moment. They always have to be doing something, playing a game, doing this, doing that, right? Why do we not these days as parents preach this gospel of dignity of labor? Parents, you need to wake up. You need to wake up. You need to wake up. Because you see some parents, they're essentially destroying their kids' destiny by saying, oh, you know, my child must not go through the same thing I went through. Again, I'm not saying you should not do good things for your kids, but have them earn it. There's this wonderful show I love to watch, 9911. One thing that was always successful amongst those kids is that you institute a reward system. You have them do something and they get a reward. Like, oh, the time they spend watching TV, they have to earn it. The time they spend doing this wonderful activity they love, they have to earn it, right? Institute a reward system. Let me tell you this, kids will do anything when they know that there is a reward at the end, right? Because we live in a society where being jobless, sitting at home, is rewarded. But working actively is actually not encouraged, right? God has raised many, many, many successful people. But how did anyone you see that is successful, how did it happen? Do you think it happened by these people sitting on their hands, right? Many of us, right? That, you know, if you're a person that is successful, you know how much you toil to get to where you are today, right? But unfortunately, we are raising quite the lazy generation, right? Quite the lazy generation. Like these days, because again, at least, you know, by the grace of God, I'm involved quite a bit in the educational system, right? These days, you can easily earn with very minimal effort, you can earn 100% in many high school classes, in many college classes. People don't realize this, but quite a number of students cheat these days. Right? Even our medical education system, let me tell you this, is being watered down. I'm not going to speak on this because that's not the main point of this message, right? But even our medical education system is being watered down, being watered down, right? Watered down, right? So please, as a parent, don't add an unprepared adult to the society. Do your job, right? When you fail to discipline your children, you're showing them that you hate them. It's much better to pass on. Let me tell you this. One of the best inheritances you can give to your children, first, is that relationship with God. But second is discipline. In fact, it's much better to pass on discipline to your children than to pass down money. Right? Because think about it. Even the God that we serve, he puts us through trials so we can become the better Christians that we are. Right? We can become the better Christians that we are. Right? Think about it. It's very, really hard to know how to fast, to know how to pray, to know how to trust in God when everything has always gone well for you. Right? But once you experience tough situations, you notice in many situations when people go through tough times, that's the thing that draws them to God. Right? But the thing is, by going through those tough times, you build up skills, you build up characters that can help you better deal with that blessing that is on the way. Right? Again, the thing is, discipline, it never feels great when it's happening. I mean, if you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, right? Hebrews 12, verse 11, it will buttress that point. But discipline never feels great when it's happening. But the end result of discipline is always joyous. Right? It's always joyous. God does not say, oh, he's my special son. I don't want to hurt his feelings. No. One thing that shows that God really loves you is the discipline he inflicts on you. If you look at Hebrews 12, verse 6, it says, the Lord disciplines the one he loves. The one he calls a son is the one that he disciplines, right? But the thing is, when your children see that you're afraid of them and you're not ready to be a parent, they will walk all over you, right? If you don't choose to be the parent, your children will become the parent in the home, right? So how do you properly discipline your children as we wrap up? Well, proper discipline requires just being thoughtful. Again, you cannot do drive-through parenting. No, you cannot do drive-through parenting. You see, some parents, they'll rather spend time watching the game on TV or attending to other fun activities, and then they leave their children. What if God chose to attend to more important activities and decided not to give us air to breathe, right? Don't use technology to occupy your children. You see, some parents, they're like, oh, to keep the kids quiet, I'll let them play games. To keep the kids quiet, I'll give them my phone. To keep the kids quiet, I'll give them my tablet. Don't do that. Don't use technology to occupy your children. Technology has many things, right? You see many of the things with social media and mental health problems that it causes. No, don't occupy your children with technology. Design activities, design situations that will cause them to engage and build up key life habits. Right? Like in Nigeria as a kid, I know every now and then my parents, I think, will, you know, play certain, or at least we had certain games like Monopoly. We're exposed to those things. Those things taught me good financial habits from the get-go. Right? You see, sometimes parents, they just hang out with their kids by watching TV. No, don't do that. It sounds like it's an easy way out, right? But basically what you're doing is you're creating an addiction. Let them exercise their minds. Let them grow. Why don't you sit down with them and play Monopoly? Why don't you sit down with them and discuss a book? Why don't you take them to a place that will build a scientific mindset? Why don't you set up a reward system for when they do well at school? Right? Why don't you spend time helping them with their homework? Why don't you get them profitable things instead of buying them the newest game that comes out every time? Don't give them the easy way out. Show them the proper way. Show them the proper way. The Bible says there is a more excellent way. So I'm encouraging you, if you're a parent listening to this or your future parent, be wise. Be wise. Literally, your children's destiny is in your hands. Your child's destiny is in your hands. Your child's destiny is in your hands. So as I wrap up, again, one thing I want to tell you that has really helped me in life is having that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my parent. God is my parent. God is my father. And because God is my father, I've been set up on the road to my divine destiny. So if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I confess all my sins. I forsake all my sins. I repent of all my sins. I believe that your blood was shed on the cross and you died and rose again to save me. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life and strengthen me to serve you every day. Sanctify me with your blood and fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations. You're a child of God. I will encourage you, find the Bible. Start from the book of John. That's a good place to start for a new convert. Start from the book of John. Read it. Do what it says and your life will get better. And then also, seek community with other believers. Find a Bible-believing church. Again, there are many churches that say put the name of God on them, right? But they actually preach heresy. They actually don't truly teach what God's word says, right? But find the Bible-believing church. For me, I attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God, right? There are many great churches all over, but you know, I'm just telling you, I attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God, right? But find the Bible-believing church, fellowship with other believers, do what God's word says, and you'll see your life take a turn for the better. So by the grace of God, the next episode will be episode 28, and we'll finish up our topic of godly parenting, and we will be done with that and move on to the next series. So thank you for listening to me. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. Thank you.